For the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show. I am Tim Fuel, back leading my merry men, whilst maid Marianne Caroline Barker is away from the forest, having already made myself feel green at the thought of myself and my two co-hosts in Lincoln Green hosiery. It's probably best to introduce them now. Our managerial guru, formerly of AFC Wimbledon, Hendon Harrowborough et al., Mr. Dave Anderson. Good evening, Dave.
Evening, Tim. How are you, mate?
It's Wednesday today, isn't it? We're going a bit earlier here. It's another hectic week in the jibber jabber world. But joining us as well and giving us our northern insight and a batch of stats and knowledge is FC United's broadcast warrior. It's Swampy. Good evening, Swampy.
Yeah. Good evening, Tim. Good evening, Dave.
Evening, Swamps.
Well, now a big old week for FC United, Swampy.
Yeah. It's probably the. It's something that perhaps a lot of fans have been dreading. A lot of fans have never thought it had come to happen. But, the letting go of Carl Margeson by mutual consent, it has to be said. And the 12 years of Carl Margeson in his 13th season, in fact, has come to an end. It's a sad day in that respect. But I think sometimes you have to look at football for footballing reasons, and it's been a very, very difficult decision. But at the same time, I believe it's probably the right decision.
You say 12 years, Swampy. It's been a dramatic 12 years as well. I mean, just to even keep the same manager for 12 years is pretty outstanding at this level of football.
Of course, yeah. I mean, as a football club, you know, everyone knows the story of FC United, where we came from, who we are, quite bolshy, quite, you know, very Mancunian in our attitudes and beliefs. Carl had come from, I think he was, when he joined FC United Manchester, he'd been a fruit and veg man up at 5 in the morning. He was working with Flixton, who at the time he was, I think, in their the assistant to their reserve team manager. And, you know, he got a job which I think, I don't think he believed he'd last 12 years in. I don't think anyone believed he would last 12 years in the simple fact that we didn't think if FC United would last for 12 years. But, you know, 4 league titles, an FA Cup run to the second round, only beaten by the beautiful team that Brighton were at the time when they went on to win the championship that year, get to the championship, 3 cups. And 12 great, great, great years. I mean, I know from a perspective for Dave Anderson, I was down there when Dave Anderson was the manager of AFC Wimbledon, and I'm sure Dave would have dreamed of possibly being at Wimbledon for 12 years. But football, sometimes, it catches up on you. And if you look at the stats, as much as Carl has done and the great work he's done, together with his assistants as well, because a lot of the time we forget about assistant managers, and when they go by the wayside, as long as the manager's still there, a lot of people think it's okay. But assistant managers, as Dave will tell you, do a tremendous job alongside the manager. But the last 3 years, the move to Broadhurst Park, I think, and the move into from the Northern Premier Division into the National League North tells its own tale. I mean, the last 3 years, the stats are 36% win rate, 33%, and we're currently at 21%. With we're second bottom of the division, 11 points. We've not won many games at all this season, and I think the board have had to make a very, 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 very difficult decision. And you know, Carl, together with his staff, I've gone en masse because you know it's a new era and a new time. But I mean, and Dave's been in football a long, long time, and he'll turn around and will say that Carl will come out stronger from this and will move on. Once he shakes himself down, probably, and you know, there are football opportunities for him because he's been at a very, very high profile football club and he's done tremendously well. But the last 3 seasons haven't been what they should be, really. I'm sure Carl would be hoping for a lot better. Although we've had our best season last season, we finished a position above where we were from previous season. But it's been very, very disappointing, certainly this season. And a person that we interviewed only 2 weeks ago on the show, Tom Brown, we were talking about his perhaps demise playing and dual registration, going from FC United to Ramsbottom. Well, he came back. He did brilliantly the FA Cup. He's now the caretaker manager. So it's amazing what this show can do because he's been elevated so high. But I think it'd be a short-term thing for Tom. He wants to be playing football opposed to running the team. But there's a group of people involved within the junior ranks of the club through the academy side. They're going to be helping out over the weekend. There's been talk of other people coming in and helping out as well for a few weeks' time before they make a decision of who the next manager will be. And I would say to all supporters, it's been a great, great story for Carl. There's many more stories for Carl to come. There's no reason why, as we know, many managers go and then, you know, years later they come back. He's only 47 years of age. And he's got a great opportunity to go and do something elsewhere and then maybe come back a bigger and better and stronger person. And he could well be again someday the FC United manager. But at the moment, we are in a new era of football, and we've got to be positive about it and move forward.
A hard decision for the board, Dave, but a hard decision for any manager. Is that a difficult job to take on, do you think?
Oh, no, it's a difficult job because every job's difficult, but that's the dream job. It's one of the biggest clubs in non-league. Of course, but no matter what job you take on as a manager, there's difficulties within it. But this is what you want to do if you have anything about you. You want to be put into the spotlight in a big club that expects something of you, and you get to test yourself. But, I mean, I got to meet Carl right back at the start, as Swampy said, when both clubs used to play pre-season. And I always got on well with him. He's a nice guy. He's just a genuine lad, and we'd always have a couple of beers and a laugh. He knows that I'm a closet Man United fan and always have been, so that sort of helped the situation. But I do think, and he'll understand me saying this, and I think I've got to be honest in this, I understand why it's happened. I think the club of that size has to look to move forward. And if it's stumbling a little bit like it has been, then, and I feel the club have given him a chance to get it turned around, and have now come to the conclusion that their status in the division they're in is of utmost importance, and I would agree with that. I had a similar experience at Wimbledon, albeit much shorter period, and albeit with a win percentage of 57%, it has to be said. I still left the club. The chairman said, look, you know, my deal was to get the second promotion within 2 years, and we could beat in two playoffs. But I respected that, and I always, to this day, I have. It was the right decision. You go away. I think Carl will go away and reflect on it, and he should. And he should take a little bit of time out, because it takes a lot out of you. And then, you know, if Carl feels he wants to come back and manage it, of course he'll get a job. He'll never get the highs that he's had at FC United. I'll be blunt and honest with that, because when you walk out in front of a full stadium every week in non-league, it's not something you tend to do at every club you go to. But he will come back if he wants to. He'll come back better, stronger. He'll have a good idea of what he of what he might have thought he'd have done different. But my advice to him would be, well, one, don't listen to other people. It's none of their business. But two, have a little bit of reflection. Take a little bit of time out and reflect on it. And you know, what he did for that club is loads more than I did for Wimbledon. But when I go back to Wimbledon, you know, I'm treated like a king. It's a real humbling experience. And he'll get that every time he goes back. And I think he'll stay away for a while, and I did exactly the same thing. But I do think that I think everyone in football will understand that the club had to make a decision. It becomes a little bit more emotional because of the length of time that Carl's been at the football club from its foundation, you know. But football moves on every day, as they say, you know.
It does indeed, Dave. And the one thing to remember as well is the decisions that were made weren't made by your standard board. They weren't made by money people. They were made by supporters that happened to be on the board. So the hardest decision for them to ever probably make in their board life, they've had to make with a heavy heart as well. And I'm sure we'd all like Carl to have been there for, you know, the foreseeable future. But as you rightly say, you know, we're a fan-owned football club. We've got to think of moving forward. We've got to think about where we are in the league. Nothing to say that the new manager comes in, or whoever it may well be, can improve things. But the same token, at some stage, you have to make a decision. And there is a lot of backlash at this moment in time at FC United and Manchester. But the one thing I will say to them is, you know, we talk about a manager who's lost his job. We talk about a manager who, you know, is unemployed now. Because the one thing, Carl was full-time. He was a full-time employee of the football club. So therefore, you know, he's looking for work now. But we've lost assistant managers, four of, who have done very, very well, that were there during the FA Cup times, during the really good times as well. You know, so there's not a huge amount of difference, I always believe, between the assistant and the manager that work closely together. So, you know, let's galvanise, let's get behind Tom Greaves, the assistant manager. He's a player. He's on 97 goals. He's an FC legend. He's a gentleman. He was on the show 3 or 4 weeks ago. And let's get behind him, get behind the club, and let's get ourselves out of this position we are in this moment in time, which we are capable of doing, stay in this division and move forward as a club. And as you say, Carl will now reflect. We'll have a look with his management team and himself. And there's no question about it that Carl, for me, will go back into football. At what level or what club, we don't know yet. But he still has that opportunity because when you've got 12 years under your belt at a club like FC United that have had so much press and people understand them, you're always going to be talked about, and you know, you'll always be remembered. And let's hope he can come back in bigger and stronger going forward. But FC United and Manchester is bigger than any one single person, rather than the football club itself. The football club is more important than one any individual. But
yeah, if you take a breath, Swampy, I'd like to commence on. No, what I would say as well is that, and we you always use Wimbledon and FC United because they're mirrored images of each other, you know, one down south, one up north, big clubs. But the one thing that Wimbledon did right, Swampy, was when they made a change of all their managers, you know, when I got brought in, it was the right decision. It worked. When I left, Terry Brown got brought in. It was the right decision and it worked. When Terry Brown has left, Neil Ardy is now in, and it's been the right decision, and it's worked. That sounds as if it's easy to do. It's really, really not. And the Wimbledon board need a lot of credit in Eric Samuelson and how they went about that. So that's massive for the football club. Is that they, you know, one of my old chairmen, Martin Murphy, used to say to me, "Listen, sacking the manager is the easy part. It's getting the next guy right, it's the hard bit," you know, a bit tongue-in-cheek. But there is a real valid point behind that. So that, you know, I really hope, you know, have a great sort of fondness of the football club, and I hope they get the next bit right.
I'm sure we'll come back to the FC United story, but talking of managers, we do have another manager holding on for us, listening to all your good words. Now, back in the day, kids wanted to be cowboys or spacemen. Now they want to be TV celebrities or professional footballers. And it also seems that those professional footballers also now want to be involved in grassroots when they retire. Because our next guest is another former pro who came through the ranks in Northern Ireland, no less, Mr. Anderson. And having enjoyed playing spells in Northern Ireland, the English pro game and in non-league, he hung up his boots and then he had a brief stint as a manager at Oldham Athletic, followed by an equally brief stint in non-league at Halifax Town. He then joined Hyde United in the final month of season 2015-16, but was unable to keep them from their third straight relegation out of the Northern Premier League. Now, many would have perhaps maybe looked for a paper round after a year like that, but our guest dusted himself down, showing that the faith was well placed in him by the Hyde United board and the fans. And it's a good evening to Darren Kelly.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
I'll translate.
I give me life story there.
To be fair, once people get to understand your accent, Darren, you'll be fine.
Oh well, you could do the subtitles.
Brilliant.
Now, Darren, I mentioned that, you know, your first move into management, it was a bit of a sorry year, full of highs and lows. I'm sure you learnt much. Did you actually think about giving up the idea of managing at that point?
Do you know what? No. It was one of those where I set about doing my coaching badges, and I'd done the UEFA Pro license, which, you know, anybody knows, obviously, in coaching, it's not cheap. And I paid for it, you know, myself, costing the guts of £8,000-9,000. So it was one of those where I thought, you know what? I have to try it. I've got a philosophy on how I do things. It's stuff that I've wrote down over the years in terms of, you know, playing under managers and, you know, playing styles and all that type of thing. So I've pretty much a big book of training methods and all them type of things that I wanted to do. And I had, well, to be honest, I set myself like a 5-year plan. So that when I started or stopped playing and achieved my UEFA Pro license, there was a 5-year plan on what I wanted to set about doing and how I wanted to do it. Now, it was in York City at the time when I'd finished it, and I was becoming a bit, almost a bit stale. I was coaching, and I thought, do you know what, I need a new challenge. This is probably as far as I can go. And at that time, I seen the Oldham job come up, and again, it went back to when Lee Johnson was a manager. You know, they give him the opportunity, so I put in a CV and things like that, send him a few detailed reports and a few games that I'd went to, and got myself an interview. You know, while this whole process went on, I think it went on probably about 4, 5, 6 months, I was headhunted to join Sunderland, to which I did, and then, boom, out of the blue at Sunderland, they get a call and invite me down for an interview at Oldham. And about 3 or 4 interviews after that, they invited, you know, they gave me the opportunity. As I say about my five-year plan was when I achieved the UEFA Pro license, start at the very bottom, non-league, and try and work my way up. You know, up the pyramid, get the experience, make mistakes, and crack on. And as I say, everything just happened a lot sooner than what I was expected. And what a year it's been, to cut a long story short. It's been a very difficult year, a very challenging year. But all good. It'll all help me going forward.
Yeah, listen, of course, Darren, of course it will, because you know, the old saying's true. You learn very little when you're winning. You learn very little when it's going really, really well. When you go through periods, you know, and how can you turn down the chance to manage Oldham Athletic? You know, how can you do? You just
exactly.
It doesn't matter if you feel you're ready, not ready yet. So you'll come out of that with more experience. And, you know, typical from someone from home, if I say so, when you're knocked down, you get up quick.
That's it.
You know, and that now you take that into where you are now. But just on a manager situation, when you go into the part-time training, Darren, you know, it's brilliant having your FIFA Pro license. You'll struggle to implement loads of it at the level, you know, but it's good to have it on board for moving forward. How have you found it now, you know, settling into where you are now?
Brilliant in the fact that, you know, like I said about, everything's going to take time. You know, and as a manager, it's all about being given that time. And that's all it asked, so that my qualities could come to the surface and I could, you know, sort of do what I wanted to do, you know. And then, you know, I went to Hyde and showed trust in me and showed faith in me. And if I'm being honest, at the very start at Hyde, it was very similar. You know, it was very similar to what we were, what my previous experiences were. But again, it all came down to being given time. And the club showing faith in you. And I was very blessed that it was given that time. Because again, people were calling for my head too after about 10, 12 games, you know, into my high venture. But again, it all comes with giving, you know, that bit of time and being given that time. Again, I'll go back to, I haven't achieved nothing yet. But what I've done is I've stopped the relegation of players. Myself, staff, and the club itself have. What was doom and gloom over them years, we've turned around. And, you know, I believe now we're getting the rewards. Now through the experience and, you know, the club showing the trust. Thankful for that.
Darren, it's Swampy here from FC United Radio. And I've spoken to you with Berkey on a number of occasions. Yeah. When I've been lucky enough to watch Hyde. And you do yourself a disservice here, because at the end of the day, I know your passion for football. I know the way you talk about football. You know all the players from the youth level all the way through.
Yeah.
And it's been infectious at the football club, because prior to you being there, the club had been suffering defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat, relegation. Let's just look at your stats for a few moments. Your 19 league games. Well, I'm going to go through the good ones. Your 19 league games.
Good.
19 league games unbeaten. You've been beaten once in 28 games, which was a cup game a couple of weeks ago. You've got into the first round of the FA Cup which the club have only been in three times, and you are top end of the table with plenty of games in hand, and you've got an FA Cup game live on television next week, and you're playing a team that's a league football club in MK. Can I say? You can say that. I was going to say something else, but I'll let you say that. But I mean, it's been a great, great story. I see the way you play football, and you've got to be proud of your achievements, because you say yourself, you've had trials and tribulations. You came into Hyde at a very, very difficult period, but you've built a football squad that basically is challenging on all fronts, and that shows that your five-year plan is now starting to work.
Yeah, and that was a big thing. All I'd ask, you know, from day one was just give me time. You know, nothing's going to work overnight, especially as what was said before. You have two nights a week. It's going to take time, but you know, it's about building a philosophy, about building an infrastructure from bottom to top. I don't go in and just focus on the first. You know, as you guys pointed out before, the youth, I want to see what's in the youth as well. Not dissimilar to what Brendan Rodgers does, but all this will take time. And, you know, as I said before, when I went into Hyde, it was a very similar to what went on previous. But all as I asked for, which they gave me, was the time. And again, I'm very blessed that I got that. And I'd like to think, you know, we're on the right path, you know, to where we want to go and what we're setting about doing. You know, we've a fantastic squad of players, we've a fantastic club, supporters, board, volunteers. And I just, again, want to show, you know, the faith that they've shown in me by being successful this season. You know, I think we're on the right road to that. If we can stay clear of injury suspensions and that type of thing, I think we'll have a very good season.
Yeah, I think as well, Doran, you know, I feel sorry for young managers, because going back to when I started my non-league career.
Goodness gracious.
You know, black and white TVs and all that, yeah.
TVs?
But you were, sorry, Dave. You were genuinely given 18 months. You know, now you don't get 18 minutes. And I've never, ever understood that. And when you look at clubs who give managers time and stick by a couple of barren seasons, they only ever flourish, you know. So I think how did you sell that with them, Doran, when you went in?
Well, and I spoke about my experiences, and you know, if I go back a couple of years, even when I was at York City, more near the start, it was offered the Hyde job then, and I turned it down, you know. And again, I sort of kept in touch with them. Because again, you know, when I spoke to them, you know, I speak passionately about what I do because I care about it. You know, I've a real genuine care and passion for what I do and what I believe in. Again, it's just been given them opportunity. So, you know, again, obviously I get the opportunity at Old and then went on to Halifax, and then, you know, almost that opportunity came up at Hyde, and they asked, listen, can you come in and take us for a couple of games? Just to be there, because obviously they're making a change. And you know, I'd happily done that because I got to know the people within that sort of time. And then obviously when the job came up, I applied for it permanently. I had the assurances that I'd be given the time and do it the way I want to do it. And it was a no-brainer. And as I say, I'm sitting here, I feel blessed in the opportunity that I was given. But, you know, because of two short stints, yes, you know, I probably could have, and most probably would have walked away from it. But, you know, it was said before, when you're in Northern Ireland, when you get knocked down, you know, you get back up. You know, went into Oldham, and within a week, I get a death threat. And then for 3 weeks, I had to walk about with a tag. So, you know what I mean? Just things like that, that I use them as a motivation and a drive. Yeah. You know what? You're not going to keep us down. You know, I believe in what I do. Give me the time to do it, and I believe I'll produce the goods.
Yeah, no, I do. And listen, but I'm going to finish in a minute, but I want just to say, you can link people within sort of 2 or 3 seconds of different people. Well, I'm going to ask you, when you played at Portadown, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Was your manager Ronnie McFall?
Hi, Ronnie McFall, aye.
Yeah, well, I played with Ronnie McFall at Glentoran, and then he managed me at Glentoran. So there you go. There's our link, son.
That
shows you. So
brilliant.
I wish you well in it, and
likewise.
You know, it's great. You know, obviously from a personal point, Tim, it's I love to hear people from home who come over here and sort of stick it out, and I always think they've got something to offer. So hang in there, mate. You're doing well.
Top man, really appreciate it.
He's doing more than well for me, because obviously an FA Cup first round, and it's live on the television on the third of November.
Yes, Friday.
I think Friday.
Next Friday night. The third,
that's right.
5:00 kickoff.
But what you were saying there, just before you go, you were talking about the Northern Irish way. You get knocked down, you get up again. Well, here's a small fact for you, and I'm sure Dave, you'll be interested. You were an amateur boxing champion, weren't you?
Me, yes, again, many moons ago, you know. But again, it was one of those. I had that choice. I was going over to Liverpool as a 15-year-old, and then at that choice, I had to either decide football or boxing. And at that stage, you know, that little bit of money and things like that went that way. That obviously I chose football, you know.
To be fair, probably. Doing a paper round where he comes from, he'd need to be a boxer to get round, you know.
You know, in hindsight now, wish I had to become a boxer.
Yeah, brilliant, man. Wish you well.
Well, thank you very much for your time again, Darren.
Brilliant.
It's been fantastic talking to you. We wish you well at the weekend, and wish you well in that big FA Cup game as well. And
brilliant.
We'll be looking out for Hyde United throughout the season. Thanks again.
Brilliant.
Take care.
Thank you very
All
much.
The best.
Thank you.
All the best, Darren.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, man.
Thank you.
Great passion for the game. Honestly, lads, you know, at the end of each game at Hyde, he comes up, never gets asked, doesn't have to be asked. He comes up and he will spend, no word of a lie, 45 minutes with you. And he'll just talk the game. And the thing is, he talks about York City. Well, that's where he lives. He doesn't live local. He doesn't live in Hyde. He lives nearly two hours away, and he has that passion for the football club. And when he says he wants to know all the players from the youth team all the way through, that's exactly what he's done. And he had a season where actually they had to have 8 players within their reserve youth team ranks within the first team. And he's utilised that. He's brought all these kids through. He's working with these kids. He's got a good blend of football. And I tell you what, they play some absolute tremendous football. And they'll give that team that they're playing in the FA Cup a real, real good test. And they play on a 4G pitch. It's the best 4G pitch in the country by a country mile. It actually feels like grass. It looks like grass and it plays like grass. It's probably the only one I've ever seen. And they're a team to look out for, and he's a manager to look out for. He's going places, that lad.
Well, talking of managers to look out for, look, last week Dave and I spoke with Alan Devonshire at Maidenhead United and Mark Patterson at AFC Darwin, two former pros, both doing well as managers in the non-league world. But they aren't the only ones, of course. We've just had Darren Kelly there, and there's another man who's trying to pass on his experience and knowledge, who recently took the step from former striker at Preston, Man City, Barnsley, Walsall and many, many more. John Macken, his first managerial position at Radcliffe Borough. He took the post only last month, and I'm pleased to say he now joins us on the line to tell us how it's going. John.
Hi, good evening.
So how is life as a manager?
It's different. It has its ups and downs. Obviously, in that 5-week period or 4-week period, I've only had one home game, so that's different, you know, because I've had a lot of cup games all away from home, and so really, I had one home game last week, which was we beat Colwyn Bay in horrendous conditions. But it's nice, it's good, you know, it's a good change.
I mentioned passing on your experience and knowledge from your professional playing career. I mean, what in particular do you think that background gives you when you're coming in as a manager at non-league level?
I just think it gives you a little bit of a base of, you know, sometimes in games or when you're going into games, you've been through it yourself. You know what the feeling's like around. You know what the players are feeling. You know, we train 2 days a week on a Tuesday and Thursdays, and you know we're preparing in between that. And you just get the feeling, you know, of certain games and certain players that before, and you know, certain situations. And in the league that we're in, it's challenging because every team plays in a different way. I mean, you've just been talking about Hyde there. We played them in the Cup just last week, the other week, and we lost 1-0. And, you know, they were very, very organised. They looked to counter-attack, they looked to get back in and then counter on you. And then we come up against the side on Mosley last night, and you know they were very physical, very big side. So it's a challenging, you know, week to week it's different, but it's something that you know I've always wanted to do, and I'm enjoying it at the moment.
Swampy, question.
Yeah, well, first of all, John, welcome to the Northern Premier League. It's a division from an FC perspective we were in for a long, long time, and I've been down at Radcliffe on many, many occasions. I've got some good friends there. Last three games, as you say, league matches, that is. You know, you've had two draws and a win, which is boding well. Radcliffe currently 17th in the division, 14 points, with one team only going down this season in the division. Does it give you the opportunity to really be able to experiment and try and take the team further? Because they are a club, as you know yourself before taking over, that have been pretty much at the very bottom half of the table for the last three or four seasons without really, you know, doing anything other than that. Was it a big decision to come to the club? And what do you want to do with the club? What are your ideas moving the club forward? Because they're a great traditional club.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I met with the owners and the chairman, and I just thought that, you know, they had ambition. They wanted to push the club on. The club's had a bit of bad luck over, you know, the last couple of years. Changed managers once or twice, and they're a very young side. They tried to experiment. They tried to, you know, bring it with the youth through and then push it on and then bring a little bit of experience in. You know, and for one reason or another, you know, it just hasn't worked. So I think, when, you know, when they asked me and they come to me and asked me about would I be interested in the job, but I was, you know, I was chomping at the bit. I really wanted to get into management. And I think it's an opportunity for, well, myself personally, but many, many other ex-players who are getting into the game to look at these kind of levels, because there's some fantastic football being played week in, week out, and there's some great players there. You know, we're still only a very young side. I'm trying to add a little bit of experience just to, you know, help and encourage these young lads to push on and believe in themselves a little bit more. But I think with the club in general, it was a club, like you said, you know, it was down at the bottom of the division for a couple of seasons. But now I think we've got a bit of momentum. I think we've got a bit of belief in the club and around the club that we, you know, we can start challenging and we can start believing in ourselves a little bit more and push on and try and get into the, first of all, you know, the top half of the table. And then you're looking to try and sneak into the playoff positions, and you just never know.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, to be fair, John. And what I would I'd say to you is that just look at it, when you go into this role for the first time. I see you've taken Frank Sinclair with you. Obviously an ex-pro, but I think it's a wise choice, because he will have a better, a longer experience with non-league than yourself. So was that in your thinking?
Yes, it was. I mean, I've known Fran for a long time, you know, and I know how experienced he is. I know he's had a couple of managerial jobs himself. So, I mean, my idea was always to bring somebody with a little bit of experience in these divisions and the type of player that, you know, I'm looking for. And that I can, and really, with Frank and the way I try and manage and the way I try and coach is, I look at it as we're a team. I don't look at it as just my decision and that's good and that's final. My assistant and my first team coach and my staff, they're there to ask their advice. They're there to give me advice as well. Because, really, you know, it's my first job in management. I've never really played down in these leagues, although I had a little stint at Bamber Bridge, so I had a little taste of it. But I've got to look at these people. I've got to get their experience and understanding of these leagues and the players and the type of environment that we're going to go into week in, week out. And, you know, I find that crucial at times when I'm asking the advice and, you know, I'm relying on them to give me a piece of information that, you know, that can help me and help the team go forward.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, John. You know, I just honestly, of my own career, I always remember I did the same thing. I remember I got the Hendon job, like first manager's job, and I brought John Turner with me, who had previously managed. And in the first, especially in the first 4 or 5 months, I always remember the first game. This is true. I'm not making this up. We were sitting in the dugout in the first game. I went, to be fair, JT's his nickname. I went, JT, this ain't working. We need to change it. He said, Dave, it's 20 past 3. Calm down. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Because you... you want to act too quick, and that experience calms you down. You know, when you shut the door in the office, you're absolutely right. They're there to, I always say to my staff, I want you to think like you're the manager. But one of us can, the final decision is yours, but you want to hear it all ends in honesty. And I think if you go along that track, Johnny, you'll go forward, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're totally right. That you bring these in and you bring your staff in to help you. You don't bring them in to just totally, you know, do as you say and be blinkered, you know, because it's crucial for you sometimes. You know, the decisions that you make sometimes might be just from emotion, or you're trying to get your head around something that's happened in the game, and you're not really thinking about the player or the individual. And sometimes I think we, as managers and as coaches, I think because of the way football's gone in general, we're all very, very quick to change things too soon and look to try and challenge ourselves too much, instead of just realising that, you know, we're doing it and we've got a method and we've got a way that we want to play. So just stick to it and let them try and, you know, work it out themselves and get themselves back into the game, instead of trying to change things after every mistake or everything that happens in a game that's, you know, that goes against you.
You've had a very, very good career in football. So this isn't about ego, is it? Because if it was, you'd be looking for a job in the Football League. You'd be looking for a job perhaps in the National League, or you might even be going for the FC United job. But unfortunately, you're now with Radcliffe Borough. But, I mean, is this the best place for you to start your managerial career, do you think? Is it a good grounding? Is it a good place to start so you can move forward and you can actually bring that expertise that you've got from a player and use the likes of Frank Sinclair to help you along the way and give you the opportunity to improve as a manager?
Yeah, well, I believe so. You know, I mean, when like I said before, when the owner and the chairman and they came to me and they asked me, would I be interested in the job? I believed what they were selling to me. They were telling me that how they want to take the club forward and how they want to, you know, create this ground and this place and this club that's going to be challenging for things. They don't just want to be sitting languishing in the bottom half of the table year after year. They really want to go and challenge things. So and my part of that and my job is that is to look at it and to think, well, I trust you. And if you trust me the way I want to do things, then hopefully we can be successful. It's not going to be easy. Nothing ever is easier. And you find it in these divisions, you know, the more mistakes you are, and when you are bottom half of the league, you tend to be making the same mistakes regular. So that's the first obstacle that you've got to get over. You know, you've got to stop the team making the mistakes that are losing your games. And then you've got to start, and you've got to bring the morale back. And then, you know, you've got to start bringing the belief back. And we're doing that. We're doing that slowly but surely. You know, we've got some great players in the squad already. And the ones that we're going to bring in, you know, they're going to help the team and they're going to help the squad, but they're going to have to be better. And the lads at the moment, they're performing tremendously well for me.
Well, the one question I've got very, very quickly. Sorry, Dave, let me just, before I forget, because if I do, I will forget. how have you managed to get a player from Inter Milan? You've brought in Gabe, haven't you? You've got a 19-year-old lad come from Inter Milan who's joined you called Gaidu. How have you managed that?
Contacts. I think, as you well know, there's many, many agents and scouts and people who have been around the non-league game and you know, the conference and a long time. And you know, if you get to know these people, there's some fantastic people down there that are, you know, that they're willing to help you and they're willing to look out for you and really guide you. And, you know, I've got to know one or two of them over the last couple of years when I've been doing my badges and so on. You know, and I call upon them sometimes and, you know, ask their advice on certain players. And I'm always open to bringing people in and having a look at any player, because sometimes players can have misfortune at one club, go to another club, and it be the making of them. So, you know, I'm always willing to be there and help them, in hopefully to help me, to help the club go forward, if that's the, you know, if that's the case.
That's, to be fair, John, I'm not even going to ask another question because that's a great answer. Contact. So, I what I would say is I just wish you well with it, and we were going to finish off by asking you your targets for the season, but I suppose it's just to make sure you stabilise the club.
Yeah, well, like I said when I went in, the first and foremost was to get the team playing, because we have got good players, and you know, I suppose he was underachieving a little bit, so it's just to get the team playing and get that winning mentality back at the football club and get it into the players, the belief that they are good enough. They are good enough for this division. They are good enough for this league. And we can go and create a few surprises this season. And, you know, we've started off well. We've had a lot of cup games, which, in a way, I suppose, has helped us, because we've lost one or two of them, which, thankfully, wasn't the league. You know, because if it was the league, obviously, we would have been losing points. So that's one good point. And it gives me opportunities to experiment a little bit, like we said before, you know, with different formations, see different players, because I came into Redcliffe without even seeing any really of the players play, so it gives me that opportunity. And I believe we're getting a good squad together now, of 17, 18 players, and who all are fighting for the jersey, and you know, that's what you want as a manager.
Yeah, sure is, man.
Well, certainly if passion buys you points, then I'm sure you'll be climbing up that table very, very quickly, John. It's been fantastic talking to you. Really appreciate your time, and we wish you well for the rest of the season.
Yeah, we do.
I appreciate that, lads. Thank you very much, lads.
The thing is, lads, as well, I mean, you know, they had a player last season who was on the radar of a couple of clubs. He's now at Tranmere. He went to a league club, did a bit of training with them, and Tranmere took him on. So they've had a good pedigree of young players coming through. But I can imagine, you know, the lad Gaidu, who's coming for, he's a French lad who was playing in the French league, went to Inter Milan, been playing at Inter Milan. He turns up at Radcliffe. He must have thought, why, this is exactly what I've been waiting for. You know, what I mean, you know, from Milan to Radcliffe, it's like an inner city Manchester suburb. It's got a pond behind the ground, which obviously the ball goes into quite a lot, but. John Mackham, in all fairness, you can hear it in his voice, can't you?
Yeah.
It's his first show. We can hear a passion there. We get a lot of managers coming on, but he's got that real, seems like Mancunian determination and grit, and saying, you know, I can do something at the club. And it will help this season, because there's only one club going down.
Managers are different. They're very different in the dressing room as to how they are, you know, when they're doing interviews or speaking in public or wherever. But some of them can't help be what they are, and I thought John was one of them. I mean, you know, when you speak to managers, I come away from an interview going, I could play for him. He would float my boat, you know. And different managers motivate different people, but I just let what he had to say.
Well, you like talking to managers. We all like talking to managers, Dave. So let's talk to another one. We can't let this week pass by without mention of the FA Trophy. It reaches the first qualifying round this weekend. 72 ties, 144 clubs looking to make further progress towards non-league finals day and an appearance at Wembley in May. And also to secure a £3,250 in prize money. One club making preparations to host a club higher than themselves is Bostic South side Sittingbourne. They host Bostic Premier Mersham. It's all this glue. It sticks to your teeth. Mersham on Saturday. Now, joining us on the line to tell us how those preparations are going is Nick Davis, the Sittingbourne manager. Good evening, Nick.
Evening, chaps. How's it going?
Well, we're going well. What about your preparations? They're slightly different from normal, perhaps, because you've got a 2:30 p.m. kickoff. What's all that about?
Yes, we have. Yeah, there is a function, apparently, a wedding that's been booked over 2 years ago that's taken place in the clubhouse. So, yeah, we put the kickoff half an hour earlier, just so they can prepare for that afterwards. A little bit strange, I know, but. It's just where we're at the moment.
That's why we love non-league. I think apparently your fixture secretary had done everything you needed to do, put down for an away game in the league, and then you managed to get drawn at home in the FA Trophy that you'd gone through in. So it's nice. You'll be the first ones finished on Saturday evening anyway.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, I'm just pleased to have a home draw, really. So, you know, either which way is fine by us.
I was just going to say that. You know, you're going well in the league as well, Nick. You know, I know Mersham are the division above, but you're always caught. I probably repeat this question most cup weeks, but does it get in the way? Is it getting in the way because you're on a good run in the league? Or is it one of them things you think, well, big chance to go and play someone above?
Well, Dave, I think you know, financially for a club like ourselves or anyone in non-league, this game's important. We lost at the first hurdle in the FA Cup, so we didn't get any money from that. So we won the first qualifying round against Ashford a few weeks back to bring in £3,000 for the club. And so it's another opportunity to bring in some money for the club. So it's a very important fixture for us. It's one that we look at as a club, as a manager, and you know, obviously it keeps the club happy if we win.
Sure.
It brings a bit of money into the club. But yeah, I mean, it's been absolutely hectic. We've had one free week, midweek since the start of the season, August the 10th, I think it was. I think we've played 21 games so far already. So it's been an absolute manic start, if I'm being completely honest. We've had to play the League Cup, the Kent Cup, the FA Cup, the Trophy. They seem to sort of cram it all in the beginning part of the season because obviously I'm assuming because of the potential bad weather come January, February, March, and the better weather in the sort of summer autumn time, and they sort of cram the games in at this level. So it's a big demand. You know, our level of football with small squads and injuries and suspensions, but it's just one that we're used to now. You know.
Yeah. No. Sorry. Just before Swampy comes in, I just want to get back because I it always makes me laugh, Nick. You know, if you hear Mourinho or the top Premier League managers saying they've had sort of three games in 5 weeks and they're complaining about being tired, you know, and when you're successful at this level, you really don't get a chance to breathe. You know, people sort of talk about working on tactics and working on, you really just get a matter of game after game after game. How's it been with you? Because what I used to find when they bang games in this early on is early injuries to your squad. Have you been okay with that?
No, we've had quite a lot of injuries. I mean, it's not just Spittenborn, it's across the board, and suspensions as well. Luckily, we've got a little bit more strength and depth. We've got 18, 19 players, but obviously we only have 16 at any one time. And we've had to use all of those players, you know. We've rarely had to leave anyone out. I've had to get one or two dual registered in the league below, just so they're ready to come in if needed, because you need the strength in depth. And from when I played, which wasn't too long ago, but long enough, you know, I committed for the full season. You know, I didn't miss a game. Unfortunately, in this day and age, priorities change slightly, and I've had people go on holiday. Someone's gone away now, and it's just not the priority like it used to be. Unfortunately, but I can't complain because you know we're not paying their full wage, right? This is they get a bit of expenses, especially at Sittenborn, and you know they need to. Everyone's working hard, right? So you can't blame, you know, half blame them to go away with their family or whatnot. And during the term time, you know, some of the teachers and that, it costs a lot of money to do that. So I think it's just part and parcel of how it's changed over the last 10 years. And, we've had to use 18, 19 players to sustain the 21 games that we played in the short space of time. And, it keeps coming thick and fast.
Well, talking about those games, Nick, you've got, Duadu up top together with Roland. I think they scored 16 between them in the 21 games that you played. Are they going to be pivotal, do you think, at the weekend in this cup competition?
Of course, yeah. I mean, Nwadu, he's a centre midfield player, so he's actually got 8 goals from midfield. Roland's a centre forward. We played Mersham 2 weeks ago in the League Cup. We beat them 1-0 at home. We're unbeaten at home this year. We've played 21 games. We've lost 2 in all competitions. We've lost 1 in the last 17. So we're in a good vein of form ourselves. We feel that anyone at the Bosic League at home, we've got a chance against. But we know what a strong side Mersham are. They were in our league not so long ago, and Hayden's done a fantastic job down there, play a lovely brand of football. And it was no different when we played them the other week. It seemed as though they found their shooting boots since then. They beat Margate away 2-0. They've beaten Lowestoft 6-2 the weekend. They lost to Dulwich last night, but, I mean, a lot of sides do, right? We're expecting a real tough game. We're the underdogs. But it's going to be one that I'm sure Hayden will look at and go, well, they beat us the other week, even though it was a cup game, and it's difficult. They had one or two missing, so did we. But, it's going to be a potential banana skin for them, and it's a free game for us. We're expected to not win. And to be honest, we're punching well above our weight in the league, and we're always going to the games as underdogs. And that suits us, that sort of tag, because it gives my players the freedom to go, okay, you know, so if we do lose today, we're expected to lose. But I tell you what, they're going to have to play well to beat us and to get through to the next round. It's going to be the same Saturday. We are a very good side. But, you know, at home, we fancy ourselves.
Yeah, and to be fair, Nick, you know, Sittingbourne's a club that comes with a great history, you know, come back over the years. So I suppose it would be lovely to see them back up in the Premier, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. I've had a real bad time of it in recent years.
Yeah.
This is my sixth season at the club. I've been a player here, a player manager. So I've been involved in the club for about 3,500 games, so I know it quite well. And, you know, it's got that hardcore base of supporters that have been coming for years, and there's 70,000 people that live in Sittingbourne. It's as big as Blackburn, by all accounts. It's such a one-town team. It's got so much potential there. And in the old days, when they were back at Bourne Park, the old track, which is now Crayford, you know, they were getting 1,500 people through the gate week in, week out.
I remember going there, Nick. I remember going there. That's why it sort of, when I seen the show tonight, I was keen to sort of talk to you, because it, you know, maybe the sort of current generation of players wouldn't know that, but Sittingbourne comes with a big history.
Well, 135 years, exactly. Dave. The club have been around. I mean, that is a big history. You know, a club that, you know, doing well and had the trials and tribulations, but to be around for such a length of time is testament to the football and the people of the area.
Yeah, it's had its bad times. Some bad decisions made, I think, over the years. But they were dubbed the non-league Man United, I think, at one point back in the 90s.
Right.
I mean, I saw some of the books and the money that was going about them was ridiculous. And some of the people, Neil Wembley played for them, and like Tommy Warlow, well, he played for them. And, you know, it was a big club. It was a real big club. And it still has that potential, in my opinion. You know, we're playing, we're at Woodstock, which is a mile from the town centre, which doesn't help. So, I mean, we had 160 there last night against Cray Wanderers, and, like, we could easily be getting 400 or 500 if we're in the town, but unfortunately, where it's situated, it's very difficult to get to. But the club is on its way back up, you know, it's had a bad few years, and hopefully, you know, we can bring them times back. But we can only do that really by bringing success, I suppose, on the pitch, and that's partly down to me and the staff and the players, really.
You mentioned some of those big clubs that are around you there. You know, Lewis above you in the division at the moment, Greenwich Borough, Crinchin the Casuals, Cray Wanderers. You know, is it your aim to get one of those automatic promotion spots, or is a playoff maybe a spot a bit more sort of likely for you guys?
Well, yeah, you've not mentioned Hastings, Hive, and half a dozen of the other.
I could have mentioned half of that division. Really, it's a very, very tough division.
It's right, and. You know, I don't want to go into too much, but in the off season, I literally had one player left from the season before, so I've had to start from scratch. So we had to build a side basically over the course of about 5 weeks. So we're delighted where we are. In a way, having a blank canvas has done us a favour. I was maybe too loyal to 4 or 5 of the players that weren't quite up to it, but had been at the club for a while. And it's no disrespect to them, lovely people, great guys, but it's been a blessing in disguise, really. And I've got the right character in, I've got the right hunger in. What I can't offer is the best facilities and maybe the biggest money, but what I can offer is game time. And if you know, if they've got ambitions to want to go on, we've had the likes of Harry Smith, Lex Allen at the moment, he's only just turned 18, 6'7" centre half. I mean, he's got Crystal Palace, Norwich, he's got a lot of the pro clubs looking at him. We can offer that because we can give game time. But there's no superstars in our side, you know, everyone works for it. It's a good changing room at the moment. But sorry, going back to your question, I think at the beginning of the season, I think our aim was to beat our points total of last season of 62 and to beat where we were last year. Now, that was a record in itself within 10 years, I think, the most points the club had got. From this platform that we built ourselves on at the beginning of the season, we played the likes of Lewis, Whiteleaf, we've played Cray Wanderers last night, fantastic side. We're mixing it and matching it with them, and we believe that we can compete with them. And if that means, you know, so all of a sudden our expectations have changed slightly. We want promotion. That's what I want. That means we're going to be aiming for that top two. There's no two ways about it. It's going to be very, very difficult because there are some very good sides in this league. But if we continue the way we are with 14 games and we've lost one of those 14, we've only conceded one in the last 9 games. So we've got a decent base to start with as well. Then there's no reason why we can't. But I'm a realist. I'm a non-league fan for 20 years. I've played for 20 years. I know that it can change within an instant. So we'll just take it.
Yeah.
It's an old cliche. Taking every game as it comes. We're doing our home of every opposition. And it's working. And so far, so good. But, you know, we're just keeping our feet on the ground, really. But, yeah, 100%. I'm aiming for promotion. You know, I'm ambitious. And that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah, good luck, son.
Yeah, definitely.
You certainly sound like you're enjoying it anyway. We'll look out for the result on Saturday and keep an eye on that division. As I say, very, very tough. The whole of that Bostic, the Premier as well. We've spoken about the Premier Division before with Dulwich and the other clubs up there. But your division probably looking down, Perm any from the top 12 that can maybe get those promotion spots. So we wish you well with that. But thank you for joining us, Nick, and good luck at the weekend.
All the best, guys. Cheers. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, that's a real tough division. It's something that it's funny how you get waves, different periods of time, where sometimes divisions are weaker, for want of a better description. And then you hit on this division now, and it's the top half of it is virtually a Premier division, if you know what I mean, team wise. So it's whoever comes out of that division won't struggle next year in the Isthmian Premier.
No, that's true. I mean, the one thing though, obviously FA Trophy first round qualifying. I know it's Dave that your old team Harrow Borough are playing Haringey on Saturday. And the two finalists from last season, Sow Shields, are away to Farsley Celtic, so that's going to be a tough test for the holders. And Cleethorpes, who they played in the final, are away to Buxton. So the finalists could be both the winners and the runners up could be going out on Saturday. But some big games, and it's such a great tournament, and we look forward to having that double headed FA Trophy FA Vars game, don't we?
Yeah.
At Wembley next season. But this is where you want to get through to the next round. You want to start pitting your wits, and it's one of those finals. You're not that far away from the final. It's not that many games before you actually find yourself in the semis.
Yeah, it is, and it comes at a time in the season when it's the one competition. It's the one competition. You try and win them all, but you genuinely, when you get to it. If you win a couple of games, you start to get excited about it. It's a chance to go to Wembley. It's every footballer's dream. But as much as non-league, I think, props up the FA Cup with stories and the magic dust, this is our FA Cup. This is non-league's sort of big trophy. And I like the fact that we haven't downgraded it. Like, I feel some of the Premier sides have. With the FA Cup, it's still a big competition for us,
Well, the trophy and the Vars, both of them have got the merits, and it's as you rightly say, everyone can't be blessed to be a professional footballer. We've heard from players tonight that have been ex-professional footballers and played at the highest leagues. For certain players, it's never going to happen, and this is the opportunity. And it's financially beneficial for football clubs, and secondly, it's a great day out. It's a great day out for supporters. And if you do get to Wembley, absolutely wonderful. And I've got to say, the last two seasons being at Wembley, watching the finals, the double header is brilliant, and the football on show is of great quality, Every player, every manager, every spectator can turn around and say with envy, I've been to Wembley as a player, as a manager, as a supporter, to support my football club in non-league football. And that's something that not many football clubs get to do, but when you get to do it, it's a very proud moment for the people of the town, the villages and the cities that they come from.
Yeah, I think if ever you're talking to someone involved in non-league football, one of the first things that comes up is if they've played in the FA Trophy or the FA Vars final at Wembley. It's always the thing that they want to hang around their neck and let you know all about their day. Well, pretty much that's it for this week. Thanks to Swampy, Dave, all our guests and everybody listening. Just time to point you in the right direction of the FA website to complete their grassroots survey, the third grassroots survey. If you want to be heard, it's an opportunity to tell the FA what you think. You can find it at www.thefa.com and then via the Get Involved tab, which is at the top of that page. Worth a few minutes of your time before the deadline expires on Monday. So don't forget, you can get involved with all the debate via Twitter at Non-League Show throughout the week and find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And if you want to put the podcast on your own website, check out our embeddable player at www.nonleaguefootballshow.com.
J-I-B-B-A, J-A-B-B-A.